Good morning. Today I want to discuss a topic that can be a little uncomfortable, racism. And what does the gospel say about racism? I realize that this could be a sensitive subject, and because people's lives and their feelings and their security are wrapped up in it. The church, I mean the church as a whole, not the individual places of worship, but the church as a whole, has failed to address this issue, probably because it's quite uncomfortable. And that's been a wrong approach over time. The world needs to hear about the hope of Jesus in regards to this difficult topic. You may be asking me, Pastor, why now? Is it because this is like the headlines in the news and now we're taking our cue from the televisions? Yes and no. The ongoing issue in our society and in many other nations right now has brought to the forefront an issue that has been present but not really addressed. The current situation is causing the church to take a look in the mirror, and the world needs a response from the gospel. There's an obscure little verse in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, and it says these few words, from Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. It paints the picture for us that there were men who were wise in the ways of God, who understood their days, their time, their culture, and what was happening, and how the nation of Israel should respond to that. There's a reminder for us here as Jesus followers that we need to understand the times that we are living in, and we need to engage with our culture, bringing them the hope of Jesus. Now, this topic can be difficult and messy. I may not say it all correctly. I may not even say everything you hope I say today. So I'm going to ask if you would please extend me some grace. I want you to remember that God created us as diverse peoples. As a result of God's love in us, we choose to treat each other equally despite all of our differences. Jesus died for all people, period. Jesus died for all people, showing no preference for any culture, race, or ethnicity. Because of this, we want to embrace all people and treat them with the love of God the Father. Let me tell you a story about a young boy, young man named William. William was born in 1870 to former slaves in the southern U.S. He was raised in extreme poverty. As a young man, he became a follower of Jesus, and he felt the call to prepare for ministry and be a pastor. And so he found his way to a training school. We'd probably call it a Bible college or seminary today, but he made his way to a Bible college in the early 1900s in Houston, Texas. But due to the laws, the segregation laws in Texas at that time, he was not allowed to sit in a classroom with white people. The teacher, feeling for him, allowed him to listen to all the lectures by sitting outside an open window every day so he could take notes and learn. And when the weather wasn't good or when it rained, they would leave a hallway door open so he could stand in the hallway and hear the lectures and learn and be trained to be a pastor. This is how this young black man had to prepare. I also want to share with you a little illustration here. I'm going to ask you to help me. As I hold this up, I want you to tell me, what do you see? You should see the name of a company or a coffee company. In case I'm not close enough, I don't know. You should see the name Tim Hortons. Now, when you look at this cup, you see Tim Hortons. When I look at this cup, all I see is a white maple leaf. You see, We're both looking at the same thing, but we both are seeing something different. You're seeing the name of the corporation, and I'm just seeing some extra stuff put on the other side. Why don't we see the same thing? Because we're not looking at it the same way. You see, for me to see what you see, I need to walk around and see what you see from your perspective. See, often we don't understand racism because we do not see it from the same view or experience it from the same place as someone else who is experiencing it. For me to see what you see, I have to walk around the issue and see what you see. I need to feel what you feel, and I need to believe and understand your experiences. Our text this morning is found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, where Paul writes, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ." Jesus had humility and love for others, and that needs to be the expression of our love towards other people, just like Jesus, humility and love. Before we get into some scripture, and I have lots of scripture to share with you. You might only be able to jot them down. I won't be able to possibly read them all or even show them all, but they're on the YouVersion, so click there and I'll put all the scriptures there for you. But let's start by looking at racism and understanding what is racism. Racism has got three definitions to it that give us an encompassing picture of what racism is, the three different aspects to racism. And the first is this: hating a person because of their race. So you can hate somebody because they're white, you can hate somebody because they're black, you can hate somebody because they're brown or they're Asian or whatever others are. I just can't cover them all, but hating a person because of their race. The second definition is believing a race is superior or a race is inferior to other races. A third definition, and probably a prevalent definition for the world we live in, us here in Canada, North America, it's prejudice towards another race. What is prejudice? Because it's prejudice towards another. So what does it mean to be prejudiced? Prejudice means to make a judgment about someone or something without having all the facts. And so now we're talking in the context of race. So making a judgment about someone without having all the facts. That's what that word prejudice means. It's two words kind of put together, a prefix and the main word. And so it's pre. And the word pre means before. It's pre. It just happens to work that way. And Judas means judgment. So it's pre-judgment. Today I want to look into the Bible and see what it teaches us about racism and what we can understand God's heart for what there is. And so the first thing I want to do is give you a couple of principles that are contained in the Word, and I'm narrowing down to a few principles here. And the first is this: God values you and me regardless of the color, culture, class, gender, or age. God values you. Galatians 3:28 tells us this: there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Here are three areas that the Apostle Paul writes. He's talking to the churches in Galatia, and he's setting out some very important things, and he's touching on all the divisions of mankind that have happened through the ages. And notice what he breaks down. He says, Jew nor Gentile. He's referring to ethnic groups. He's referring to race. There was a lot of tension between the Jews and the Romans in that day as Romans were oppressing the Jews. And he says, you're one. Slave or free. This really deals with our position in society. It's how much money do I make? How much money is in my bank? What is my societal position because of finances or because of position? Are we blue-collar workers or white-collar workers? That kind of thing. It's societal position. And then male and female, gender issues. And these gender issues have been with us for a long time. And Paul calls them out. So he's talking about race. He's talking about class. He's talking about gender. And Paul reminds us that we are all one. Peter goes on to speak about this topic in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. And Peter says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. So that's our first principle. Our second one is this. The enemy loves to fuel and flame the problem of racism. Now, of course, when I say the enemy, I mean Satan. In John 10:10, Jesus tells us about this enemy. He says, the thief, in reference to the devil, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. See, the enemy wants to bring destruction. He wants to build problems between races, between whites and blacks and browns and white and Asians and browns, and you get the picture. The enemy tries to bring this division, but we can't allow that. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but we, the church, cannot allow racism to be the tool of the enemy. Third thing I want you to understand is racism is a problem of sin. Not skin. The church cannot tolerate racism. James 2:9, we're told, but if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. You can look at Romans 14:10 as well here. But it's a sin problem. Racism is a sin problem. A lot of the problems in our world are really a sin problem as mankind rebels against the love of God. But I want to look at why is racism a sin? Why is racism wrong? And I want to leave you with seven truths today. And the first is this. Racism is pure evil. It's pure evil. Romans 12:9 tells us this. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. See, if you love some and you don't love others, it's really a hypocritical love. Love must be sincere. Love must be for all people. Secondly, racism is pure self-righteousness. There's a story that Jesus tells, or that Luke records for us, rather, it would be a more exact explanation in Luke 18:11, and tell you about the story. It says, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. And I picture the Pharisee standing in the temple and pointing down at the tax collector. I'm better than all these people, the Pharisee says, even this tax collector. It's saying I'm better than other people. It's not what makes God's heart happy. It hurts the heart of God to have self-righteousness. Third truth is racism violates the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19, many of you may recognize this verse. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. See, we are called to go. We are called to embrace. We are sent and called to go and love all nations, all ethnic groups, all people. And if we don't do this, when we're violating what God asks us to do, racism violates the great commandment. John 13, 34, 35. Jesus himself tells us this, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, loving one another is what Jesus calls us to do. And he says, they'll know that you love one another if you love me, and they'll know you love me if you love one another. And Jesus gave us the example of love. Love others as Jesus loved you. There are times I'm sure that I've hurt the heart of God, but Jesus loves me. And he brings me through it to the place of repentance and relationship with him. Another thing is, racism questions God's creation. Acts 17, 26, we are reminded of this truth. For from one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. See, God created all the nations. He created all the colors. He created all the people. He created all the languages. He created all the ethnicities. To treat one nation or peoples inferiorly is to defy what God has created and defies what God has intended. God wants us to acknowledge that he made the nations and he set the colors of our skin and he made us the way we are. He designed us this way. God made us this way. And we need to see that and we need to understand that and we need to embrace that. I want to share with you a personal story. I've been blessed for most of my life to have friends who are different races and different cultures. I have black friends from different nations. I have brown friends from different nations. I have some Asian friends who I don't get to see much because they don't live close by me right now. And I used to say to myself, and once in a while out loud, I used to say, I don't see color, I just see you. One day a friend of mine and I were discussing this deeply a little time back, not that far, but a little bit ago, and my friend called me on it. We have that kind of relationship. We've been friends for almost 30 years. He called me on it. He said, I need you to know that I know your heart. He said, because I know you, Dan. I know your heart, and I know what you think you're saying, and I know what you mean, but you don't know what I hear. And how that affects me. So, you know, from my perspective, from my white perspective, I was meaning that as a compliment. You know, I was saying to my friends who are a different color, I don't see your color, I just see you. And it came from a pure place, but I needed to hear it from the way my friends hear it, especially this one friend. And he said to me, this is what I hear. When I hear that phrase, it means you don't respect the way God made me and you don't see my ethnicity. See, because I know God made me, and my friend is brown. He says, I know God made me this way. I need you to see how God made me. We're both brothers in the Lord. I need you to see the way God made me. He made me this way. This is who I am. It's part of my DNA. It's part of who I am. It's part of my life. And I don't want you to not see it. I want you to see it. And I want you to embrace that it's okay that I'm different than you. But together we're great friends and we love God and we serve God in each of our own ways. And then he said something very striking. That if I had trouble understanding the way he felt, then I needed to search my heart and see if I had any prejudice. Not meaning to, but just if I did. See, I needed to remember that I needed to walk around the cup and see something from his perspective. Another thing that racism is evil and wrong is because racism questions God's plan. Revelation 5:9 paints this picture for us. And they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God's persons every tribe and language and people and nation." You see, God's plan is to redeem people from every ethnic group. Seventh, racism. Racism defies God. Defies God. That's strong language, but John 3:16, that well-known verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, for whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life." God so loved the entire world, every nation, every people, every language, every people group. And he sent Jesus to die for every one of them. Jesus died for you just like he died for me. He died for them just like he died for me. Jesus died for all people, not just one race. See, it's time for the church to stand up and say that racism is evil. And the answer is Jesus. It's time to stop sidetracking the issue of racism and let's not get caught up in the things that are around it, whether it's protests or riots or blame or anything. It's time to stop sidetracking the issue. It's time for the church to stand up. It's also time to stop saying it's an American problem and not a Canadian problem. It's their problem, not our problem. We both have problems. They're different. And a large part of what we may see on the news is not our problem, but we have our problems. We've not treated our First Nations, our Indigenous people well. Probably we're not very aware of it. We don't have a good history with our Asian community. And now there's issues with people of color in our communities. And sometimes there's issues with certain white people in our community. We need to stop saying it's their problem, not our problem. We need to understand it's our problem too. It's time to stop waiting for the government to fix it. It's time for the church to love through it. It's time to show this world Jesus. It's time that the church stands up and say, we may not know how to fix all of it overnight, but we know that the answer that we have is the answer that this world needs. And that answer is a Jesus who died on a cross because he loves the nations of the world. And we have the hope. And we've been silent. And we need to stand up and be counted. I want to share with you some possibilities. I want to share with you some things that we can do as individuals, as believers, as Christians. And if you're not a Christian and you're watching this today or listening to it, I want you to know you can accept these truths and you can make them stalwarts of your life as well. It's not just the Christians who have the corner on this. We learn this from the Gospels. We learn this from the Bible. We learn this from Jesus. First thing we need to do is we need to start with ourselves. We need to ask God to search our hearts and make sure that we do not have any racist attitudes or hidden prejudices in our hearts. Ask God to show them to us. The psalmist writes in 139:23, probably famous words, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Search me. It's the psalmist, when he says that, David wrote those words. He said, "God, show me the things that I don't even see inside of me and expose them to me. Work with me." You can think of Philippians 4:8, where it's, "Whatever is noble, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, think on these things." The second thing we could do is we must understand God's heart for unity with diversity. This is a beautiful picture. Revelation 7:9 tells us As John is writing the vision that he sees, he's describing this wonderful scene. He says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. The Lamb is Jesus. See, God loves variety, and he created different people. All humans are created in the likeness of God. Every nation, every ethnic group, every tribe, all created in the likeness of God. But we've all been given different gifts and abilities that are God-given. God intended that we would have these gifts and they would allow the nations of the world to work in unity. But what's happened over time, what's happened with sin coming into this world, is the enemy has been able to take those differences that God gave us, the diversity that God gave us, and the enemy comes with a wedge, and he puts a wedge between us, and he begins to use them to divide us as people groups. See, God made all the nations of the world. He designed the differences in each of our ethnicities. He made us different colors. He gave us different languages. He designed different nations with different gifts because God is a God of diversity. Galatians 3:28 also speaks about this. I used that verse earlier. You can go look at it again if you like. Another thing that we can do and take away is we must listen more and learn to love more. James 1:19 and 20 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And then 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 tells us this. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they can see cannot love God whom they have not seen. We must listen more and love more. The church must lead the way in talking about racism and showing the love of God in this situation. There is no room in the Church of Jesus Christ for racism. It's that simple. Racism hurts the heart of God. The world needs the love of Jesus. And we're supposed to be the light on the hill. We're supposed to show people this is the way. And I want to challenge you. If you've never had a discussion with someone who's from a different race than you, someone who may look different than you, I'm going to encourage you to maybe sit and talk and ask them about their experience. Ask them about their feelings. Learn to walk around and see what they see on the other side of the cup. Lastly, we must pray that the Holy Spirit would break down the walls of racism. I want to share with you the rest of the story that I opened with this morning. I told you a story about William. Well, here's the rest. In 1906, after he finished Bible school, he was called to the city of L.A. and he went. And in L.A. he began to have prayer meetings in different people's homes. And soon those prayer meetings began to grow and grow, and they needed more and more space. They ended up in like a warehouse location at 312 Azusa Street. The move of God fell in that place, and they held services every day for 3 straight years. Some tell us that they may even held more than one service in a day. For 3 straight years, this revival moved. The move of God birthed out of that simple prayer meeting as it grew over time. God birthed out of that the Pentecostal movement. People travel from all across North America and possibly even further to attend services. We have stories of Canadian brothers who traveled down in that time in the early 1900s to go to visit and to receive the Holy Spirit and bring the Holy Spirit back to Canada. People from all walks of life, from different backgrounds, all colors, attended these services together. Frank Bartleman, who was an evangelist at the time, who also took time to pen about this revival as he attended probably more than one time, and he writes about his experiences, and he says this, at Azusa Street, blacks, Latinos, Asians, whites, and others knelt beside each other. They prayed and sang together. The Holy Spirit created a dimension of love, unity, brotherhood, and equality, unprecedented for the time. For you have to remember, it's the early 1900s, and life then was a little different than life today. Frank Bartleman also penned these words about the revival at Azusa Street. He said, the color line washed away in the blood of Christ. We are still in need of the power of the Holy Spirit to break down the walls of racism and bring forward reconciliation. We again need the hope of Jesus, who will break down the walls of racism in our society that we live in. And we, the believers in Jesus Christ, need to be willing to speak the hope of Jesus to those who need to hear a message of hope. It's time that we realize that we may need to walk around and see from the other side of the cup. See, you can't understand the whole story till you take time to see it from another person's perspective. Would you pray with me? Father, we just come to you right now. Lord, I know that for some, this may have been a hard topic to hear about. It's one that's uncomfortable. It's messy. And Father, I thank you for your grace that helps us to see what you see and your word to tell us what you're telling us. Lord, we don't have all the answers and we may not always do the right thing, but Father, help us to walk first, in relationship with you, and second, in relationship with one another. Help us, Lord, to be the light on the top of the hill. Help us to shine your hope bright in a world that is fighting with questions and uncertainties. Lord, help us to love everyone that you love. Help us to be your love extended. We give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.